Hi, Lisa.
I'll give it a minute. I hope everybody got the link.
Yeah, I reviewed some of your email announcements about it, but there wasn't a link in it.
There wasn't a reminder with the link.
Yeah, there were reminders, but no Zoom call info. Yeah.
To ask the team about that. I mean, it's the same link as all of our calls,
Oh,
but
I didn't clue into that.
all right. Well, we'll wait another minute or two. Hopefully, people will show up.
Here comes Wendy.
Hey, Wendy. I was telling Lisa, I hope people are finding the link. Okay. So
Yeah.
wait a few minutes and see. It was good to see you. I'm going to turn the recording off. Whoever is meant, I'm going to trust whoever is meant to be here will show up. I'm excited for this time that we have together today. I added it as an extra call for a couple of reasons. One is after our big quarterly retreat in July, our kickoff retreat. So much happened during that retreat, and some topics around, as they always do, trauma came up. And we reviewed some pieces. And afterwards, Bruce, who I was hoping would be here today, he sent me a note and he said, I had the sense that people, like, even though you talk about it and prep people, that there's still kind of like this nervousness in the air around the topic. And I thought, you know what? He's absolutely right. And he and I had gone back and forth about how it would be really great to have some discussion, deeper discussion around this. And so that's one of the reasons why I decided to add this call as an opportunity to discuss. Of course, the more we discuss, the more we embody. And also, I'm not the only one that I'm coming to this call. I'm going to share some pieces with you, some that you've heard before, some new pieces. I'll be sharing my wisdom and my experience, but I also want to say I'm not the only one in this incredible circle of people who have important wisdom ex and experience to share on this. And so that's why I'm excited for this. I'm going to present a little bit, but this really is about discussion and having the opportunity to talk about it. The other reason why I wanted to add this call is because there are so many incredible people in the Embody community. I feel blessed that I know each one of you. And I want you all to get to know each other better so we don't all have so many opportunities for mixing and discussing and connecting more. I try to have as many shares and breakout rooms as possible in, what we've already got set up. But so this, I also set this up so that we could be more interactive and more social and for you to get to know each other a little bit more. So I'm really excited for that. And actually, speaking of that, and I should just say also, there's so much more resource in this community than I think anybody realizes. I am always here to help and support and answer questions and help you brainstorm and give you resources. But the truth is that collectively, it's like, there's so many resources and support here, and that's another reason why I want you all to know each other. So that being said, before we talk about trauma, I want us to take just a couple of minutes. I'm gonna break us into smaller groups, of three or four, And it's an opportunity for like a little networking before we get started. For each person, I want to invite you to share what your work is about, who it's for, what you help people with, right? So a little bit about your work, what your work is about, who it's for, what you help people with. I want to invite you to share what your superpower is. What's one of your superpowers, or at least the superpower that you're bringing today? And then also take a moment to share something, even not that all of that isn't true and authentic and deep, it is, but I also want to give you a moment to share even more authentically. So something that is happening for you in your life right now that you want to honor or acknowledge. Could be something incredible that's happening right now that you want to honor, acknowledge, or something tough that's happening right now that you want to honor, acknowledge. And you'll have 2 minutes each in the group to share. So what your work is about, who it's for, what you help people with, one of your superpowers, and then an opportunity to honor and acknowledge something that's going on for you right now. And get you into groups. Like I said, you'll have 2 minutes each. I'll let you keep time in each group. There'll be one group of three. If you're in a group of three, you have a little more. You've got 3 minutes each. Yeah, and I'll pull Linda in when she gets in. So enjoy. Hi, Linda. Can you hear me? I just sent people off to groups. I'm going to send you one as well. Oh no, I hope your arm is okay. Did you break it?
Yeah.
Oh. Before we jump into the topic of the day, we're just doing some networking. So I invited people to share what their work is about, who it's for, what they help people with, what one of your superpowers is. And something that you want to honor that's going on in your life right now.
Okay.
So I'll send you in.
Thank you.
Okay, so first a question. Was that fun? Like if we did more of just the networking so that people know who each other are and what your work is about. And at some point adding, you know, just things of like what you're working on and that kind of thing. Is that something that people that you would like to do more of in general here? Just let me know. Lisa's saying yes. Yeah, I'm seeing some hands raised.
Yep. If there's time for a comment, I have one.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, it was wonderful. And it is a very, very cool group of women. And we could have spent a lot more time. Okay. And then the other thought is, could this be complemented by even just a Google Doc where we could just write down some stuff? You know, our contact, you know.
I think that's great. I'm going to take a note on that. I think that's a great idea. I'm going to get that into play because it's just such an amazing group of people. We all speak so much of the same language because of being in this community, going through sacred depths. And I sense that there are friendships and business collaborations and support that are more can come of this. So we'll definitely do more of this. I heard y'all in the chat about needing a little more time. And I love the Google Doc idea. So I've got some ideas brewing on this. Okay. And we'll have more time for discussion as we move through our call today. So, for today, like I said, I wanted to talk a little bit about trauma and coaching. And what I'm going to share now is obviously not exhaustive at all. And I'm not even today going to share, I will speak a little bit to some trauma-informed tips, but I'm not even going to really, that's not what today is about, because sacred depths and embody and advanced depth are dripping with trauma-informed tips. Every single thing that we have learned together has been trauma-informed, whether you've realized it or not, although I do point it out a lot. Our purpose today is more about the scope of coaching, but really even more than that, my intention for our time together today is to support you to become more comfortable with the presence of trauma in coaching. Because I think it's safe to say that everyone, if you are a human being living in the world today, you have experienced some type of traumatic event, and you are walking through your daily life with some kind of trauma response to that event or to those events. And because of that, the trauma response is often going to make its way into our coaching. We can't avoid it. As practitioners, we actually work with trauma all the time within our scope, whatever our scope is. And so I don't want you to be scared about it or tentative about it. For a long time, I was, even though I was teaching trauma-informed skills, and even though I was teaching people how to work with trauma, because there's no way to avoid it. We'll talk more about that in a moment. I was actually scared to utter the words to my students, like, yes, we're working with trauma, right? Because it's been so pathologized in our culture. And up until recently, it's been so taboo. It's been whispered about and only related to, and I hate to distinguish between a big trauma and a small trauma because a trauma is trauma. But, you know, historically, it's been like whispered about only in terms of abuse or witnessing the horrifics of war, you know, things like that. But over the last years, the definition of what trauma response is, has expanded greatly. And it's now understood that trauma responses are often parts of our everyday lives. Being trauma-informed doesn't mean that a trauma response isn't going to make its way into the work that you're doing with a client. That's not what it means. Being trauma-informed means that we are supporting our client within our scope and doing everything that we can to not re-trigger. But I just want to give you examples of how trauma may be showing up in your client containers with issues that you're dealing with all the time. So, for example, if you have a client that overworks, it's not necessarily a trauma response, but it absolutely can be a trauma response. It's a kind of fight response, right? So if there's something that happened in that client's past that really shook their nervous system and somehow wired them to think that the only way to be safe is to do more work and more work and more work and more work and more work, when you go to do a befriend your fear technique with that client, when you go to do a rewiring technique with that client, you know, et cetera, there's no way that trauma can't be part of that equation. You don't have to name it as such, right? But it's part of that equation. I'll give you some other examples. If you are working with a client and there's a fear of visibility, could be a trauma response. It could be that when they were younger, as an example, they got on the stage for their ballet recital and something happened that shook them to their core, right? And then this fear of visibility was created as a survival strategy, an adaptation for them to be able to survive. If you, I'll give you an example of how you might be having a trauma response in your client work. If you consistently allow clients to show up late and you don't say anything and you just go over session time to make up for it, that's possibly a trauma response. If you're working with a client and there's any kind of being overly agreeable, right? That might be a response from the past that they're bringing into the work that they're doing. If a real estate agent is working with a client who's incredibly indecisive about buying a home, that real estate agent is also working with trauma. It's just a fact. If someone goes to get their haircut and they freak out when the hairstylist cuts their hair, like something happens, guess what? That's a trauma response at the hair salon. And I mention these other things again to reinforce we can't avoid it. It is part of our lives and it is part of our clients' lives. And it is not something to be scared of or to think is not in our scope. Now, we do want to understand what's in our scope. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, I want to share, as you already know, so many of the skills and the techniques that we learn in Sacred Depths and in Body and in Advanced are geared to be trauma-informed. Because, again, it's there. Right. So just to name a few, you all hopefully know now, it's hopefully like it runs through your veins to get consent before going deeper. Right. That's being trauma informed. All of the listening skills that you learn in Sacred Depths, in terms of checking your own filters and not bypassing when you're listening or when you're creating awareness or reflecting. That's being trauma-informed. Everything that you've learned about how to normalize human experience with clients, right? To help take the shame out of the things that we experience every day, that is being trauma-informed. One of the many reasons why I spend so much time always on energetics with everything that we look at is because part of energetics is us as practitioners learning how to check our own trauma responses and to bring those less and less into our client containers. We've learned in Sacred Depths about knowing the difference between discomfort and pain and how to lead a client sometimes towards discomfort, because that's a part of growth, right? But not triggering pain. We've learned so much in our time together about co-regulation, right? That's so important to working with trauma. And of course, we've learned so much different techniques that support our clients to see the difference between the present moment, the here and now, and the then and there moment, right? And how through the techniques we learn how to support clients to activate the resources of the here and now in the face of the fear that got initiated in the there and then, possibly from a traumatic experience. Okay, I'm gonna just pause for a moment to let all this settle in. I'm going to share a little bit more. So hopefully one piece that you're getting so far is that we can't avoid trauma, that it is going to trauma response, that it's going to make its way into our client work. There's almost no way that it can't, not all the time, every day, right? But it's going to. And that you have so many tools that are within your scope to support. The other thing, and this is something that we've come back to in Sacred Depths, and I wanna come back to again, is you've also been trained to recognize when something comes up that is out of your scope. So, for example, when none of the techniques, I'll keep it within the Sacred Depths and advanced depth techniques, when you're working with a client on Befriend Your Fear, for example, or rewiring, and you're working it, you know, you're practicing it consistently. If the client keeps on getting swept back into the then and there, if they're not able to start to find the resources in the here and now, and the way I describe it is like getting swept back into the vortex of the past, right? They just can't, find the resources in the here and now. That's an indication that there's something around that historical moment that needs to be more deeply processed with someone who is an expert in that, right? It's to be referred out. That doesn't mean you need to stop working with that client, but around that issue, if they just keep on getting pulled back, that's an indication that there's something there that's out of your scope. Here's another example. If you have a client who consistently, not on a given day if something has just happened, but who consistently has trouble co-regulating in a session with you, they're dysregulated the entire time, session after session, that's a good indicator that there's something that needs to be processed, right? Possibly out of your scope to be referred out to. And part of our jobs as coaches are to refer out, right? And again, I've had this happen with clients, not a lot, but every now and again, and it doesn't necessarily, sometimes it is, okay, we're going to stop working until you work through this other piece with someone else. But other times we can keep on working while they also work on the other piece. If you notice consistent erratic behavior, or if the client talks about harming themselves or others, and not just kind of like, you know, sometimes we make a joke like, oh, I wish I could die, right? Not that kind of thing, but if it's more deeper around that, that's good indicator that there's something there that's out of your scope. And in those cases, consistent erratic behavior, talk of harming oneself or other, usually it's a pause work, refer out, and then come back together afterwards. Sometimes you're working with a client and they're going to bring up an event in their history that is, again, I don't like to make a difference between big T and small T, but in some cases it's helpful. Sometimes you're going to be talking with a client and they might bring up a big T event about abuse or whatever it is in their past. If they do, you can have a conversation about it, right? But you don't want to ask them details, right? Now, if they haven't already processed through with another practitioner, right? If they can speak about it from a regulated place, that's one thing. But if they get shaky, that is an indicator that there might be something for them to process through. If a client brings it up, always honor their experience. Always honor them for sharing with you. But if you sense there is a lot of dysregulation around it, ask them, is this something that you have worked on with a practitioner? You know, and again, remember that part of your job is to educate in terms of referring out. And guess what? We don't always know it first. And I just want to normalize that first. I want to normalize that personally. Like, I haven't known, for example, just from a sales call, there have been a couple, not even a couple of times over the decades where I didn't catch it in a sales call that the work was going to be out of my scope, right? But then as soon as I noticed and I saw, I referred out. I know that if you are drawn to work with me and to this community, one of your values and your brilliances is that you are so in integrity and that you care so deeply for others and you don't ever want to harm others. And I love that about you. I value that in you. I value that in myself also, but I don't want that to be a thing that has you scared to do your work. I want you to be responsible and ethical and also not scared. Rand, I'll get to in one more moment, one more piece I want to share. Some of you may have heard me share this story before. I'll share it quick, but just along, because I think it's helpful to share and to remember, just along the lines of sometimes we don't know, and also that we can't avoid it, even if we do our best and all the trauma-informed practices. Years and years ago, I was at a women's festival in the Catskill Mountains, or I don't know, maybe further upstate New York. But anyway, the organizers had asked me and my business partner at the time to lead. The theme of the weekend was the maiden and finding your inner child. And they invited us to lead an opening ritual for the festival. And there were hundreds of women at this festival, many hundreds of women. It was just a lot. And we led this beautiful, very lighthearted, nothing deep at all, this ritual of evoking the playful, curious maiden, the one who loves to have fun and, you know, unencumbered, but, you know, all the things. And then we, Don, my business partner and I, we created this kind of like little, I don't know, like mini maiden festival where we had people going under limbo sticks and we had streamers and whistles and like, it was just fun and flowers being thrown and all the things, right? Nothing like befriend your fear, right? Which isn't even supposed to be like that and heavy anyway. But I mean, this was like lightness all around, but wouldn't you know it? It was really loud in there. And because it was so loud, it triggered someone in the group. And we all, there were many of us there that, you know, knew how to handle it. And it, you know, it turned out fine, all the things, but I just share it to say it's going to come up. Right. And it's not something to be scared of. I think the last thing I want to share is even the most, you know, experienced, well, let me think of putting this a different way. No matter what your scope is when it comes to this, it's acknowledged that oftentimes we're in the mystery as practitioners. I know a lot about coaching and transformation and human psyche and being trauma informed. And there's sometimes they're just, I'm in situations where I don't know, right? My sister is a therapist and has been for decades. We consult with each other a lot. And she says the same thing. And same with my friends that are, I'm not saying this to say you can go out and do anything, right? We spoke about our scope. We know about trauma-informed practices, but I'm saying this to say if we are looking to know every little last thing in order to feel okay, we're not going to get there. Human beings are messy, right? And we are always, no matter what comes up in a coaching session, we're in the mystery. Okay. My intention is, Randa, I'm going to take your question. My intention is really for you all to go off into breakout rooms. I have some questions for you to discuss, and then we'll come back together as a group. But Randa, because you already raised your hand, I will take your share or your question. I'm sure it's important. And then we'll go off into some discussions.
Okay. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Just as you were speaking of things that are out of scope, I have one current client and not knowing that there was something quite a bit deeper going on with her. She's very good at showing only what she needs to show. I've been working with her for 4 months. And just in our second last session, which was last week, she brought up to me that she was suicidal 2 years ago. And I asked her, okay, what shifted, what brought you out of that? And she's been following me in women's healing circles and then eventually made the investment to work with me. And that was a very strong awareness at that moment, being like, wow, how could I not see that? Like, I didn't see that. She hasn't shared. She's very good at hiding all of that. And she's not in that place anymore. We've only got one session left and it feels very heavy, I think would be the word, of like, wow, I'm the only person she's trusted. And she said that that's where she went and felt safe enough to go to these places. And we're not, like, she's not finished, but she doesn't have the funds to keep going. So it's this really strange, sticky place. She'll keep coming to our monthly women's healing circles. I'll keep reaching out. But now I feel very responsible with that information. And I'm not sure how to do this. In the last session, you said, asking them, is there something you worked on with anyone else? And I know the answer is no. Yeah. But I'm not sure what to do with that. It just feels very like, ooh, you're responsible.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing it forward. I think it's so instructive for everyone. So first of all, I heard you say, Randa, that you feel like you should have known. And I want to say, don't do that to yourself. I don't think that's true. You said she's very good at hiding. And we're not supposed to pry as practitioners. And if someone is really good at hiding it, there may have been no way that you could have known, you know, which sounds from what you've described, what the situation is. We can absolutely work with people that have been suicidal in the past, right? So long as it's in the past. So I think you know that she hasn't processed through it. It's unclear from what you've shared, and maybe you do know, or maybe this is a question to ask her, is it impacting her right now? Is it showing up in her life right now? Is she either having those, you know, any of those thoughts come up right now, or any types of related thoughts to it? You know, if she's willing to talk about that, I think it's important. And then if the, you know, I would, if it were me, whether the answer to that question was yes or no when you asked her that, regardless, because you know that it was in the past, but not the so distant past. She hasn't spoken about it with anyone. It felt heavy when she brought it up. Although check your filters to make sure it wasn't just you feeling it was heavy.
She didn't even vocalize it. She wrote it down and asked me to read it. She was that scared.
Okay. So, you know, I would regardless educate her with so much love and respect and equal playing field and say, you know, I'm so honored that you shared that with me, that you felt safe enough in this space to share it. I know it was such a big deal. And I'm so sorry that you went through that. Mm-hmm. And because I care so much about you, and because there's this opening now that you were willing to share, you know, what I want to share with you is, you know, from everything that I know is when something like this comes up, when we have these kinds of thoughts, even if it's in the past, it is just so helpful all around for us to be able to process it. It doesn't have to be processing it for years. You know, it might just be a few sessions. You never know until you start, but to honor yourself enough to really process it. And that's not within my scope as a coach. And then if you know anyone that you can refer out to, you can say, but I know some people that I can refer out to, or this is the kind of, you would want to look for a trauma therapist, you at least give a title. And you know, it is, you don't have to, but I would say it is not outside of the responsibility of a coach to also do a little bit of legwork on referrals if you felt like you wanted to.
Yeah.
And then I would say it's a case by case thing to decide, you know, do you feel like she can still come to circles right now? Mm-hmm. Is that helpful?
Yeah, no, that is helpful. It was just, it was a bit of a shock. And I think it was more just, now what do I do with that now that we only have one official session left? And I think she is in a better place and we've asked that question. But addressing it more so, I've addressed it in an email, but this sounds more complete to not just brush under the rug and keep going kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad you asked.
The other quick question is if somebody does come to you, but they're not willing to go anyone else, because I worked with someone 2 years ago, same situation, but she came to me and she's like, I am ready to do this thing. I am ready to end my life. I have nothing left to live for. And we did work together for 8 months. And she was like every week in here and she's in an incredible place now, but she refused to go to get any other help. That's a sticky one too.
I will just say, like, we each have to decide for our own. I will say for me, that's out of my scope. Okay. And for me personally, it would not feel right to take that responsibility on. I would do everything that I could to find other support for that person, knowing that I can't make it happen. So I'll speak like from that place and from what I teach in Sacred Depths. I'd say like for the scope of the training in Sacred Depths and Embody, I wouldn't feel comfortable with, if you, that's your only training, I wouldn't feel comfortable with anybody taking that on. I know all of us here, like many of us have also different trainings. And so then if that's within your scope.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Good cues. Okay. So I'm going to get us into different groups now. And here are some things to discuss. I'll give you more time, I promise. First thing, just as we're kind of taking another look at all of this, what's feeling important around this for you? What's starting to click for you? So that's one thing to discuss with your group. And I'll put all this in the chat too. So what's feeling important? What's clicking for you? Here's another question to discuss in your group. how does this relate to your client work or your future client work? And then third question, what are some things that you want to remember in order to be both responsible and less scared of trauma showing up in the client container? What are some things that you want to remember so that you can hold both your ethics, your responsibility, and having some less fear or tentativeness around it? I put this in the chat. Bye, AJ. It's good to see you. Okay. Let me get you into groups. And you'll have Lori. Okay, thanks for letting me know, Lori. Let me move some things around then. Give me 1 second. Okay, you'll be in groups of four again. You'll have, I don't know, 12, 15 minutes. Well, let me give you an exact. We said we'd go until 12:15. So let's take 10 minutes. Let's take 12 minutes. Enjoy. Okay. So we have a few minutes left. I'd love to hear some of the wisdom and the thoughts that came through in those discussions. What are you seeing? What are you taking with you, Renee?
I guess for me, I was just sharing this. What's coming up is actually a lot more questions and in some ways more fear than I had before this call, of course. because I can't do anything like linearly. So for example, and I was saying I hate that distinction between big T and little T trauma, because if you have enough little T trauma, it could be a big T trauma.
For sure.
But there are people who are very resistant to the label at all, whether it's a big T or a little T. And so I start to wonder, you know, first of all, if I do sense that it could be trauma, well, how to raise that and, you know, and suggest other help without triggering resistance to the trauma label.
Yeah. But so it's always that, coach.
There was another part.
Let me just answer that. We always want to coach the what based on the who. Sometimes we don't know, right, all the pieces of the who. But if it's a client that isn't like that word is going to shut them down, then we're going to not use the word. I'm not even, unless I'm training practitioners, I'm not so quick to use it anyway, because of everything I said before. It has stigma. It's been pathologized. It's been made so heavy, all the things, right? But we can say something like, you know, I noticed that we've tried every which way with all of the tools in my toolbox, and that you keep on getting pulled back to this fear, you know, that got started, you know, 10 years ago. And when that happens, that's, you know, from all of my experience, that's an indication to me that there's something here that's outside of my scope, that it would be really great for you to process this with a specialist, right? With someone else. So sometimes we want to use the word, but sometimes we also just speak to, like, this is what I'm noticing is happening in our sessions and in our container.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's the other part of this was, you know, like I, you know, when you say like everyone's walking around with trauma, yes. And also like, where's the line? Like, let's say, you know, it's like you've internalized beliefs from like your family or from culture. It's like, I have a male client, right? He's like these very, like what we might call like toxic masculine beliefs or like very embedded, right? Like, you know, my wife should be doing this, or like, you know, I should be working until, you know, 8:30 at night, or this is how a man should be. And it's like, where is that? Where's that line between like belief and that's just very embedded versus like there was like some kind of like family trauma that made him like stick to those beliefs even more?
It's such a great question, and you may or may not like my answer. So, you know, check it out, and everybody just take it. You know, what I'm going to say is within our scope, it actually doesn't matter. We don't, because we're not trauma specialists, we actually don't need to name the, is it this or is it that? We need to look for the signs that I mentioned earlier. Does the client keep on getting pulled back into the past? Are they not able to ever resource from the here and now? Are they consistently dysregulated? Do they have trouble, not just one session because something shitty just happened right before the session, but consistently, do they have trouble regulating when they're in session with us? Are they speaking about harmful, you know, look for the clue. So it's not like, yes, this is trauma, no, this isn't. But if we see one or more of those clues, then it's an indicator, right? Our tools aren't helping. It's an indicator that it's out of our scope. Mm-hmm. Is that satisfactory for now?
I think so. I mean, you know, it's like, then I just go to like, well, is it the tools that aren't working or am I not using them effectively? Because that is my pattern, right? Of like, oh, yes. It's got to be like, I have these great tools. Maybe I'm just not skilled enough as a practitioner to use them well. And maybe that's the client's not making progress.
I'm not
progress.
Talking about slow progress with the tools. I'm not even talking about moving forward and then there's a little bit of a slide and then there's move forward. I'm talking about consistently no forward movement at all, like zero. And there's a consistent harping back, right? So if that's helpful.
Okay.
Good. I know we're almost at time. I'd love to hear one more share today. What's feeling important? What are you taking for yourself from this? And also, Randa. And I'll just add to that also, if people want to add in the chat too, was this type of session helpful? Do you want more? Not necessarily on this topic, but different special topic discussions. I want to, you know, if you want it, I'm going to look for more opportunities. Randa.
So number one, I'm going to say yes, because these are like sticky pieces of the conversation where there are questions that are niggly that I don't feel like I have a platform to be guided in this way. And these are just like the aside notes. They're not like, here's a tool, learn it. And then like the top down kind of teaching approach, it's different. But what was feeling really important that came up today was that even just as you were speaking, like here's a behavior. And it's maybe a trauma response. And even for ourselves and for myself personally, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm sure I have a whole bunch of them that are trauma responses. Does it matter? Does it need to be shifted? Or am I just aware of it? And that's just how it is. And that's okay too, to have those with clients and with ourselves, that pretty much every way, everything that we have shaped ourselves into is a reaction to something or our response to something. So whether it needs to be worked on or not is just like, oh yeah, no, that's how I show up. So that big T versus little t being a very important distinguisher. And the word trauma shows up so much. It's just like trauma informed. And I'm not saying that I am saying it in a way like that is like kind of annoying, but I feel like it is out there that someone's like, I took a trauma enforced, blah, 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 but it's very different. And I feel like when you list it out, these are all the tools you've learned in Sacred Depths. It's like, yeah, no, this is container based creation of over time. And we have tools, even though we're like, I don't know if I, but I've just deep listening in itself is huge. So just being aware of that, there are lots of pieces and just reminding to maybe pull some more in. And that this type of work being deep does need that deeper training experience, spaciousness. And I feel like there is a lack out there. And that is one of the things that was irritating me when I mentioned earlier today with my smaller group was just that I see other people doing this on such a shallow level that it's could be harmful. And it's, yeah, really disappointing to see that. So then this container is where I keep getting drawn back into. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like that's a great summing up of a lot of the pieces. So perfect note to end on. Thank you all for coming today. I'm so glad that we were able to do this. I'm seeing in the chat that some of you would like some more of this. So I'm excited to plan for that. I'll let you all know. And you'll all get links next time in my email, I promise.
Yes, yes, do that.
All right, I'm sending you all lots of love. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Joanna.
Thank you.